I'm turning back to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and our text is from verses 11 to 13. Verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. The subject before us this morning is common, one that I am certain that you have heard many sermons on this subject. And not only heard sermons on this subject many times over, you have even read many Christian articles on this subject. And you have also, in your Bible study group in the past, you have also studied on this subject. Yet in our daily Christian life, if we be true to our hearts, if we reflect and examine our hearts in the light of Scripture, we will not deny what the psalmist and what the apostle Paul say in Psalm 36 verse 1 and Romans 3 verse 18 respectively. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Sadly, this is a reality in the lives of many Christians, including ministers, pastors, preachers, and Christian believers. Can we really say, each day as we live our lives, we are living in reverential fear of our God, the Creator? Though these two verses are said, Psalm 36 verse 1 and Romans 3:18 are said of the unbelievers, but sadly, it is most clearly true, even among Christian believers. And most Christians, including myself, we live each day as though there is no God in our daily life. Therefore, it is most needful that we revisit this teaching in the Bible, because fearing God is the essence of Christian living. Fearing God is the essence of Christian living. This is our subject I would like to consider with you this morning. Now, if we think a little deeper, if we reflect, you will notice that fear may be yoked or joined together in the service of God, in the worship of God. True faith, not fearing, but believing, saves the soul from damnation. Sorry, I make a mistake. It's not true faith, but true fear. True faith will come in the afternoon message. I get it all mixed up in my mind. My apology. True fear, not fearing, but believing, saves the soul from damnation. We must understand that fear as being one of those powers which God has given us is not in itself sinful. We do not deny that fear may be used for the purpose or for most sinful purposes. At the same time, it may be so dignified by grace and so used for the worship and service of God, that it may become the very greatest or the grandest part of man. In fact, Scripture honor fear, true fear, reverential fear for God. For the whole duty of man is comprehended in these words: fear God. Fear God. The fear of the Lord. Them that fear Him. These phrases are employed to express true piety or true devotion and love to God, or love toward God. If you want to know whether you truly love the Lord, then ask yourself, do you fear Him as thy Creator? Do you fear Him as your God? I'm not talking about slavish fear, fear out of punishment, but fear out of love, reverence, or to put it in our common language, respect. Respect, but respect is not forceful enough. And I think the better word is reverential fear. When you are conscious that there is a living God, though you cannot see Him, but yet by faith you believe Him. On the other hand, fear, the wrong kind of fear, may ruin the soul. In fact, it has done much damage to multitudes of people. Many people have suffered spiritual destruction through fear. The wrong kind of fear, because it is not the fear of God, but the fear of man. Many, through the fear of worldly laws, brought great guilt into their conscience. Loss of their property, loss of their wealth, loss of their fame, loss of their glory, loss of their status. They have brought much sorrow to themselves. Some through fear of ridicule, some through fear of being laughed at, have not the confidence to follow the right, and so have gone astray and been ruined. Fear has paralyzed the arm of the most faithful Christian, stopped him or her in his race, or her race, impeded him in his service for God. Faith can do anything, but faith, sinful faith, can do just nothing at all, but even prevent faith from performing its duty. Sinful fear has made the Christian to sorrow, to anxiety, to unworthy thoughts or thinking. Distrustful, doubting fear had made Christians dishonor God and their Savior, and prevented him or her to doubt God's promises because of this fear, the wrong kind of fear. And it has brought bondage into his or her spirit. But yet it may seem a paradox. Fear, when rightly used or rightly employed, is the very brightest state of Christianity, and it is used to express all piety, used to express all devotion and love to God, comprehended in one emotion: the fear of God. The fear of God is the constant description which you will see, you will read in the Bible, which gives true religion, which gives the true meaning of Christianity. So much for the introduction. I shall now speak to you concerning the right kind of fear. A fear that generates salvation. There are different kinds of fear. There are those who fear spiders. There's a word for it. All these insects. I don't know what is the word. I've forgotten. Those who fear height. Those who fear the sea, the water. All kinds of fear. But here, I want to point out the right kind of fear. The first is the fear caused by an awakened conscience. A fear, or the fear caused by an awakening of conscience. And of course, for those of you who are believers, you know what I'm talking about. That awakening can be done only by God the Holy Spirit. This is the lowest degree of godly fear. This is the basic fear that gives rise to a higher degree of fear. You can say that this is the beginning of reverential fear. The fear caused by an awakening conscience worked by the Holy Spirit. By nature, as you know, the sinner, we do not fear the wrath of God. We have no fear of God. That's what the psalmist says, and that's what Paul echoes in Romans. He or she thinks sin is trivial. He or she looks upon it with pleasure and forgets its penalty, and he dares God. He dares the Almighty to war, because there is no fear of God in his or her heart. And he dares to lift up his puny arm against the eternal God in defiance, in pride. But no sooner, however, when he or she is awakened by the Spirit of God, then fear, the right kind of fear, takes hold of his or her heart. The thunders of the laws of God now roll in his or her ears. He feels it. He feels his life to be uncertain and his body weak, trembling. He fears death, because he knows that death would be to him the prelude of destruction, of eternal damnation. He dreads life. He's sick of life right now, you can say, for life itself is intolerable, with all the problems and the sorrow and the misery and the struggles and the uncertainties. When the wrath of God is poured into his soul, he or she, awakened by the Spirit of God, feels it. Go down to his or her knees and plead for mercy. For those who are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, dear brethren, never forget to your dying day, the hour of your desperate grief when you first discovered, when you first felt the hopelessness of life in you, that you felt that it is meaningless to go on living this life without Christ, without God as your Savior. Never forget that day when you first discover your lost condition. And how did you come to that realization? How did you come to that consciousness, that awakened conscience? For some, or most, by the preaching of God's word, perhaps. Someone gave you a gospel tract. Some, or you on your own, read the Bible, and then by prayer, or by some providence, someone prayed for you, and the Holy Spirit began to work, and you were led into this state of reflection, of contemplation, of looking back into your life and your heart, and you discover the evil and the wickedness in you. You think that you are such a good person. You think you deserve the love of God, or the mercy of God, or the blessings of God. But then now you are brought to realize how terrible you are, how evil, wicked, sinful you are. You realize the sinfulness of your own heart, and that God would punish and judge the sinner. And now you tremble. Let every Christian believer never forget the day and hour when the Spirit of God awakened your conscience. For that was the day and time of your conversion, and the day and time of your new birth. A day and time when God in His mercy awakened your soul to the need of a Savior in the person of His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life for thee on the cross of Calvary. And so I must ask now, is there anyone here, young or old, who does not understand what I have presented from the Bible? Solomon the preacher says, surely I know it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. Have you experienced, my friend, this spiritual awakening? Is it true? Is it true? Is that experience real? For those who have experienced the awakening of your conscience, it shall be well with you, brethren. It shall be well with you if God has implanted that fear, the fear of God's wrath on account of your sin. Praise and thank God for that fear. Praise and thank God for that fear. If God the Spirit had poured forth His righteous wrath into your soul, so that right now you are cast down, you are awakened, just like the prodigal son who came to his senses, so to speak. And now having this godly sorrow in your heart, if you have that, praise and bless your God, your Savior, your Creator, and fear not. Be of good cheer. May you be comforted to know that you are saved. Saved in the arms of the Lord Jesus, and therefore now, as you stand before God, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 1. The Lord Jesus further assures you, dear brethren, those who may be weak in their faith, those who may be lack of assurance of your salvation, the Lord Jesus assures you this: my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck you, or pluck them here in this text, out of my Father's hand. If you are truly in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have truly believed and are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, be assured, brethren, no man is able to pluck you out of God's hand. John 10:29. Secondly, there are those who have believed, and I like to speak to those who are in this group. Those who have believed, those who are truly converted, those who are truly Christian believers, who have a fear which I may call the fear of anxiety. They have somehow this emotion or this thought that yes, I think I'm a Christian. They are afraid that they are not truly converted. They are converted, there is no doubt of it, but sometimes they feel themselves in that way, that they are not a believer, not a true believer. And for the most part, they are afraid. And this reminds me of what one of the character in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And that person is Mr. Fearing. Christians who are truly converted, but sometimes, or perhaps even oftentimes, have this, or do not have this assurance that they are believers. And so these believers have a preponderance of fear in their character. Perhaps it is due to their peculiar constitution. Perhaps they are born with this anxious emotions. And even in temporary things in life, they are always fearing. and they lack the assurance of their salvation. So to these Christian believers who seem to be always in this state of uncertainty of their salvation, I say to you right now, as Solomon says in the text, surely I know that it shall be well with you if you fear God, which fear before Him. Not only to those who believe, but those who fear. You have this promise from God, or of God. I would like to comfort those believers who are in such a state of anxiety. You see, brethren, we are not qualified to judge ourselves perfectly, to assess correctly our spiritual life or our spiritual condition. Why? Because there still exists in us a corrupt nature, which Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 7. And therefore we will not be able to completely or totally or perfectly to assess our own heart. And we must accept and recognize this. There is still this old corrupt nature in us. And Satan, of course, will never cease to work to cast doubt, particularly during our times of weakness, our times when we are not walking close to God, and here he will come and whisper, you say that you are a Christian, I don't think so. Look at you. Look at your life. Look at what you have done, what you have said. And here he comes and whisper. And so therefore, give up. Give up that kind of judgment of yourself. Go back to Scripture. Spend some time, if you are in such a state of anxiety, go back to Scripture. Ponder over, turn over the pages, particularly the Gospel, and of course the book of Romans, and study it, and examine your own heart in the light of Scripture. Do not trust your own judgment. And after you have done the reading of Scripture and seeking the Holy Spirit to understand it, then acknowledge indeed that you are a poor sinner and nothing at all, and that Jesus Christ is your all in all. And if you are able to truly stand before God and look Him in the eye, like what Peter did, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. If you are able to say that, then go on. Go on to live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, for His glory. Ignore, turn away from all this whisper of the evil one. Be comforted. You have no right to be anxious. You have no reason to be so, because you have got the Holy Spirit in your heart. You must have been quickened. Realize this, remember this. If you have such kind of anxiety or such kind of fear that you are not converted, or that you are not a believer or a true believer, that you are sort of not good enough, actually it is a good work. It's a good kind of fear per se, because it is indeed stirred up by the Spirit of God. Or else you will not be anxious. You see that? Or else you will not be anxious of your eternal life, of matters, of things concerning your soul. You see? That is a good proof or evidence that you are a born-again believer. That you are anxious, that you are conscious, and you are careful each day. Am I living a life as a Christian? And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, you see. If not, you will have no interest. If you are not a born again believer, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, you have no such conscience. You have no care. Just like the psalmist says, there is no fear of God in their heart. They just go on living and living. Who cares about this God? You see that? So Christian believers, be comforted.
be comforted, because if you do, if you have such a so-called anxiety, though it is not good, but yet it is a work of the Holy Spirit. And then you will lay hold of Christ and to confess, Lord, I can't save myself, only you can save me. And so therefore, be of good cheer. Such fear will never kill anybody. Doubts and fears, says an old preacher, are like the toothache, nothing more painful but never fatal. They will often grieve us, yes, but they will never kill us. They distress us, yes, they distress us much, but they will never burn the soul. Fears even do good at times. The fear of anxiety then, I say, is a good kind of fear to some extent. Take this promise. Once again, go back to scripture and look at this text again. Surely I know it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. So therefore, the fear of anxiety, if you look at it the other way, is a good sign. Is a good sign. Thirdly, the kind of fear only the Christian believers may experience. Only the Christian believers can experience. The fear produced by contemplation of God. Or you can say the fear produced or evoked as you reflect and think of God, particularly through His Word. This is the kind of fear only a Christian can experience. We do not deny that many of us Christians, especially those of us who have been believers for a long time, we lost that. Why? Well, you know the answer for those of you who are believers. Perhaps you are not walking close to the Lord. Perhaps you have not been spending enough time in prayer and in meditation of His Word. Perhaps you have not been worshipping God, going to His house to worship Him and fellowship with the saints. Perhaps you have forgotten God, forsaken God, and therefore you do not have such experience the fear of God as you contemplate and reflect. And we need to rediscover that. We want that kind of fear. And we desire God to revive that kind of fear in us. And so perhaps sometimes, have you ever experienced such a thing that, and this is particularly so for us who are living in a city life. We are so busy and so caught up with so many things, and that is why we do not have, or we do not derive such kind of fear, even when we spend time in contemplation or in reflection and thinking of God and His goodness. I suggest that you try this. If you are like me, I miss that, particularly coming over here living in a city. Have you never experienced this? In the silence of the night, look up and look at the stars in the vast galaxy. As I said, we don't do this kind of thing. Why? Because we city people are so very busy. Unless you are living like a farmer, you know, in out of the city life. City life is that. You rush here and there, deadline, children, put them to sleep, this and that, and work and... But I suggest, really, if you really desire to experience this kind of fear, produced by your meditation of God's Word, then you need to set some time to put aside all this, to be quiet on your own, to contemplate, to look into the sky, or to look at the plants around you. Did you ever reflect, look at heaven, look at the starry night, and wonder, and lost yourself in the thoughts of God? Have you known the presence of God, that you are filled with reverential fear of the Almighty Creator? As I said, I miss this because I have more of this kind of experience when I was living in Vancouver, Canada, because all these mountain ranges, and well, those of you who know, I often, from time to time, especially during the season, I go fishing, and I am exposed to the vastness of that. I'm away from the city. The streams, the coolness of the air, the freshness of the air, the plants, the mountains, the huge rocks and boulders, and I'm never tired of looking. And each time when my wife and I have the opportunity to go out of to those places where we go for our walk into all this forest, or it's amazing that you look at it and you say, what a creation. And so, brethren, I suggest that you and I spend some time to do that. It was said of Moses that when he saw the burning bush, he feared to look upon God, because God was so great a being to him. And that the rightly constituted mind must always fear when it approaches into God's holy presence. And I believe that even in heaven, we shall have this kind of fear. Certainly the angels have it, because we read in Scripture that the angels created by God to minister or to serve God, they dare not look at God. They veil their face with their wings, and while they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," yet they dare not take a glance, not even a glance, at the Holy One. The very sight of God might destroy them. They tremble at God's presence. But as I said, sadly, this is missing in the lives of many Christians, including myself. And we need to rediscover and ask God to revive that fear in our hearts for Him. The right kind of fear. The fear that draws us closer to Him. The fear that evoked in us that we will open our mouth or silently in our heart and praise Him, that He is our God, our Creator. I want to close with a final word for those who are overcome with sin, those who are still outside of the kingdom of God. Listen to this very carefully, my dear friends. Do not deceive yourselves and tell yourselves that you are a Christian because you regularly come to church and you do everything Christians, you have Christian friends. To you, I say this. You may never hope till you have left off hoping in yourself. You may never hope till you have left off hoping in yourself. You have never any right to believe till you have nothing to believe in yourself. I repeat again also this second phrase. You have never any right to believe till you have nothing to believe in yourself. Until you have lost all, you have no right to take anything. But now, but now. If you have lost all your own good works and righteousness, if you feel that there is no reason why you should be saved, then praise the Lord. For that is the very reason why you should be. If you feel that there is no reason why you should be saved, praise and thank the Lord, for that is the very reason why you should be saved. The Lord Jesus commands you to come to His heavenly wardrobe, and take His royal garments for your clothing. Jesus says, everyone that thirsteth, come you to the waters. And he that have no water, no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Dear friends, if you are sick of sin, tired of this life, living a life without Christ, and you are grieved at heart, then come. Plead with the Lord Jesus in these words. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to your promise which you have made in Christ Jesus unto those who confess their sin. Have mercy upon me. And if that comes to your heart, and if you can truly pray that prayer from your heart, then go your way, my friends. Rejoice. Rejoice. Thank God. Sing all the way home. You are now a pardoned sinner. You shall never see death, the second death, the death of the soul. Let your heart burst itself in tears with thanksgiving. Then now you are a pardoned sinner. Go home. Go home and fall on your knees and prostrate yourself. And bless God that God, by His Spirit, has enabled you to pray that prayer that has worked in your conscience, in your heart, to bring that spiritual awakening and draws you to yourself. And that you begin to see that you are a helpless sinner, that you cannot save yourself. And then now you realize, as you made that prayer from your heart in faith, God has accepted you through Christ Jesus, and you have a right to be happy. Live cheerfully then, joyfully then, from that day onward, forward. Live your life joyfully and cheerfully for the glory of God. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your word of life, and we pray that Thy Holy Spirit will continue to speak to our hearts. And for those who do not know Thee, O Lord, we plead on their behalf that Thou will send forth Thy Spirit to touch them, to awaken them, to put in them the right kind of fear, the fear of God, the reverential fear of God, and draw them unto Yourself. In Jesus' name, Amen.